Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today. I have another fantastic show in store for you. And this program is all about empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions regarding your health and well-being. And as always, my intention is to present guests that will really expand your horizons, open up your consciousness, and give you more of an understanding so you can really make those important decisions in your life regarding your health and many other things that we talk about on the show. So I also want to just remind everyone, especially if you haven't really been visiting my show before, please check out my website, whatwomenmustknow.com. I offer some wonderful free special reports there, and my Facebook page, which is also What Women Must Know, has daily posts, and I always find really intriguing and thought-provoking posts of all sorts of articles of interviews. So go check it out, because it's a great place to learn about the things that we discuss on our show and a whole lot more. And talking about our show, well, we're going to be talking about one of the hottest topics right now in the integrative health world and alternative medicine and functional medicine, whatever you want to call it. Even in traditional science and traditional medicine, it's the hottest topic going, and it's all about our microbiome. I know we've been hearing about that word, but what is it? And we're going to explore the world of our inner ecology. We're going to be talking about probiotics and how probiotics are a critical piece of supporting your immunity, supporting your overall health, vitality, and particularly how it can address many of the issues that we are facing now, such as the autoimmune epidemic that's going on and many other conditions. So we have lots to talk about, and it's a really wonderful, exciting conversation. Actually, I get excited about this conversation. And to help us explore this world of our microbiome and probiotics is my guest today, and he is Randy Perupkin. And Randy is a scientist. He has a master's degree in biochemistry. He has spent the past 30 years developing systems and working in the field of fermentation. So he has been a pioneer in this world that has emerged as probiotics now and supplementations that we're taking. So he is the person who has such a wealth of knowledge that will help guide us. He is also the founder of Master Supplements, which has a wonderful line of FDA-approved, scientifically-based formulas to really support the health of our gut. So it's my great pleasure to welcome Randy to the show today. Hello, Randy.
Hello, Dr. Selman. Thank you for that nice introduction.
Well, you're very welcome. Did I leave anything out?
Well, you know, it probably took me a little longer to do it than to say it. But no, I think you covered it pretty well. You know, those the fermentation factories that I built around the world, maybe just one little quick comment. Back in the 1970s and 80s, they were designed to grow food starter cultures. Maybe people don't realize that cheese and yogurt and olives and pickles all require certain bacteria in order to develop or ferment. And that's what those factories were designed for, and it was with a little tweaking that we got them up to speed for probiotics in the 1990s and 2000s.
So, well, you really were, in a sense, a pioneer. You probably never thought that 30 years down the track, this world of probiotics and this huge emerging science of the microbiome would be such a major issue that is being studied all over the world. And, you know, it's just an exploding area of science. Did you have any idea back then that you were going to be guided on this path, led you to this point?
We had somewhat of an idea, but we never imagined it would blossom into what it is today, where these special probiotic bacteria can help your health in so many ways, like I'm sure we'll talk about today. But the first indications came from treating animals. Baby calves and baby lambs were very susceptible to harmful bacteria growing in their mouths when they were nursing. And we learned back then that Lactobacillus acidophilus could help these animals survive those initial assaults from E. coli and other bad bacteria. And I guess back then, if we're talking like, you know, the early 80s, yeah, I did see a future for probiotics with people, but never imagined it to be as significant as it is today.
So let's start with talking about this term, this world, the microbiome, which I just see everywhere. I see it on the cover of magazines. I see studies. And yet, I think most of us don't really fully comprehend what it is. So why don't we start there?
Sure. Well, you know, it's a relatively recent term. In fact, if I don't have the exact date, but if you go back 2 years ago, there was a National Geographic issue that had, I think it was January of 2012, that had a special on the microbiome. And what it is simply stated, it's the jungle of microorganisms that live within us. Also, there's a discussion on bacteria that live on our skin and outside our body, but primarily it's what lives within us, and the vast majority live in the intestinal tract. Over 100 trillion, and that's an estimate, of course, live microorganisms, mostly bacteria, live in our intestinal tracts.
That's staggering.
It is staggering, and it's complex. These trillions of microorganisms exist in mucus. We call them biofilms that can be as thin as maple syrup or as thick as tar. They exist in a jungle of immune cells that are trying to eat them by a process we call phagocytosis. They have, if we're talking probiotics down there, the good guys, they have immense competition from the unfriendlies and the unhealthy bacteria. And then there's enzymes, proteolytic enzymes that digest proteins. Bacteria are made out of proteins. There's hydrogen peroxide and organic acids, and everything's moving fast. All these little fingers that come off our intestinal wall are vibrating. You know, Dr. Selman, it's a wonder that we can actually do anything to control those actions, as complex as they are. But we really can with the right probiotic products.
So the microbiome is talking about this inner ecology of organisms that inhabit our body. How many, they've estimated it weighs, how much of our weight is made up of those organisms?
Oh, just on a good average, 50% or more of average stool weight would be the actual bacteria. It's mostly bacteria. There's some yeast. And the rest is fiber.
Yeah. Well, and you gave me a number recently that estimated how many different strains, how many different varieties, how many different species actually make up this microbiome. Can you repeat that for everyone? Because it was a pretty staggering number.
Sure. Well, back just a few years ago, I can remember having discussions with other colleague microbiologists and biochemists trying to answer the question, was it 500 or was it closer to 1,000 different species of bacteria that lived in our intestinal tracts? And most of them lean towards the 1,000. Well, what we discovered, and it's in this National Geographic, it might have been December 2013, come to think, or January 2013. What they discovered with these new genetic techniques that can be much more specific as to how many species there are, the technique called PCR, 33,000 different species live in our colon.
In our colon.
I mean, 2,500 live under our armpit.
Species.
Species. I mean, we're not talking counts on a petri dish. We're talking types.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are so important for our health and well-being, aren't they?
Very important. And the key is to keep them in balance, where the beneficial microbes slightly dominate the harmful or the undesirables. It's a war down there, and if we lose that balance, we're sick.
So why don't you give us a little tour of the intestinal tract and what goes on in the small intestine, what kinds of microorganisms that we need and need to support there, and let's move on to the colon, because this is such a fascinating area, and yet I find we talk about these things, but we don't really have a deep understanding of what we're referring to. And, you know, when it comes to understanding our microbiome and to, choose the best probiotic, we need to understand a bit about what really is going on in our intestinal tract and what lives there and
sure.
And how best to support those particular microorganisms.
Sure. Well, I'll do a real fast track on the general function, and then we'll come back to the specifics of what probiotics can do to help. Let's say you're eating a banana in the morning, okay? I like bananas. They happen to be very good foods for not just us, but for the good bacteria in our system. You eat it, you chew it. There's a little bit of activity that occurs in your mouth. If you chew it, the amylase enzyme from saliva starts to digest the starches and the sugars in the banana. You swallow it. It enters the stomach. It's going to be in the stomach for anywhere from an hour to 90 minutes, churning away where stomach acid, along with an enzyme called pepsin, start to digest it and mash it up into a juice that we call chyme. Okay, in about an hour, that little valve that runs from the stomach into the duodenum, which is the first section of the small intestine, opens. And this mashed up banana chyme enters the small intestine. And a whole host of other enzymes are there from the pancreas. There's a duct that comes from the pancreas. And bile from the liver, the gallbladder. Now, you don't need a lot of bile when you're eating a banana because there's no fat in it, or very little. But any meal with fat would call for a lot more bile. Anyway, this all goes on in the duodenum, maybe for about an hour or so, and then the banana, which we now call the food bolus or the ingesta, continues to move through the small intestine, which is about 25 feet long, some people closer to 30 feet. And that's where absorption occurs. This is where you get your nutrients. So any of the sugars and the minerals and that were in the banana get absorbed mostly in the up front or the first part of the small intestine. Finally, they get to the lower small intestine, which is called the ileum section. By that time, if you're healthy, your pancreas has been working right, and your stomach did its job, you've digested and absorbed the vast majority of those nutrients in that banana. What's left is fiber, largely. That enters the colon at the ileocecal valve, and now you're in the colon, which is the large intestine. And where the nutrients have been largely absorbed, water is absorbed, and feces are produced, your waste. And when that's happening, just like I said it, you're healthy and you're happy. There's no indigestion. There's very little gas. And you're a happy camper. When that doesn't happen, when any of that process is interrupted, and with the complexity of the microbiome that we talked about, there's many chances for that process to be interrupted. You've got indigestion, or you've got bloating, or you've got gas, or you've got pain. And if you don't treat those symptoms properly, you develop IBS, the big catch-all that doctors use to when they really don't know what's wrong down there. Irritable bowel syndrome. It's a condition. And if you don't treat IBS, it becomes IBD, inflammatory bowel disease. Now you're in trouble. Now you got diverticulitis or Crohn's disease or ulcerative colitis. Got a real infection down there, C. diff. So certainly we don't want those things to happen. And we know today much more about how to help correct them with natural products than we did, even 10 years ago. Even 5 years ago, we've learned a tremendous amount in the last 5 years.
So we need to understand that there are different functions that go on in the small intestine, different needs, different types of organisms than in our colon, or large intestine. right? And that's interesting. So all absorption of your nutrients occurs in your small intestine, right?
That's right.
So it is just so critical that our small intestine is healthy and functioning properly so we can absorb those nutrients. So what are the things we need to know? What are some of the risks that occur that impair the small intestine?
Sure. Well, you know, this is going to sound like an old broken record, but an unhealthy Western lifestyle, you know, obviously drinking too much alcohol, eating hot, spicy foods, not eating a balanced diet, eating all processed foods, not enough raw foods, not having enough enzymes in your foods so that you have to rely totally on the pancreas, poor digestion results, and you start to develop problems in the small intestine. One of those problems is called SIBO, small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And that's where you get way too many bacteria of this microbiome in the upper part of the small intestine. One of the symptoms for that is gas right after eating, bloating and gas right after you eat something. I mean, within a half hour or less. That needs to be corrected, or you're going to have more severe problems later. But absorption, what the biggest problem is, when you don't properly digest food in the small intestine, Cheryl, that food moves deep into the colon area and the ileum area, where it gets eaten by the wrong type of bacteria. And now you've got super bloating and indigestion, because you fed the bad guys. So getting digestion optimized is job one. And you can do that with a good enzyme supplement. Anybody over 40 years old, their pancreas does not make the enzymes it made when they were 20 or younger. So one of the first things to do is increase your digestive capacity with a good digestive enzyme supplement.
You know, Chinese medicine also believes that after the age of 35, our digestive energy gets weaker, and we really need to focus on supporting digestion, enhancing digestion with the kinds of foods we eat, not eating too many cold foods, icy drinks, things that paralyze and stress the digestive tract. And the more we can support it, the healthier we will be for the reasons you're talking about. But we need to understand that certain things change. And in our culture right now, I think we're under such attack through all the antibiotics we've been taking and the processed foods and the toxins that it actually may be occurring in younger people.
Sure. You know, we're a sugar caffeine culture. I mean, let's face it. And I got to admit, I love to go to Starbucks and get a medium-sized mocha. What you got there is caffeine and sugar and stimulants, other stimulants, probably over 400 different compounds in that cup.
Wow.
If you take that reasonably without an excess, it's okay. But when you start to get excessive amounts of sugar, caffeine, alcohol in your system, you are disproportionating that microbiome, the bacteria that are in it, in the wrong direction. And
I just want to ask you, when we have bloating, like you were saying, that's a symptom of this dysbiosis, this overgrowth of the wrong kinds of organisms that have been taking over. And by the way, the best analogy I was ever given about what happens with this community is that it's like a rainforest of all these different species, and when you clear cut a rainforest, invasive species move in. So antibiotics or steroids or even hormones, which act as a manner of antibiotics, can clear cut our internal rainforest, and then we have this overgrowth of these inappropriate bugs or inappropriate organisms.
Good description. Yeah, for example, the Clostridia bacteria, you know, when you have bad gas, it's not your body that's making the gas, it's the bacteria in your colon. And if you're overfeeding them because you didn't digest your food properly up high in the intestinal tract, you've got a real problem. Exactly. When you clear the forest, there's room for the bad guys to take over and dominate. And that's where probiotics can really help. Live microorganisms Lactobacillus bacteria and bifidobacteria are the two key genera, as we call them, of probiotics. The lactobacillus, plural would be lactobacilli, live in the small intestine. The bifidobacteria are anaerobic. They can't take any air, so they only grow and multiply in the large intestine, the colon. There is air in the small intestine, so that's why the lactobacillus-type bacteria can survive there. They're the police. They're the police of the microbiome. When they're there, and they never really exceed 1% or 2% at the most of the total population, they control, because they're making lactic acid and a little bit of hydrogen peroxide in their metabolism, and these two substances can control the bad guys so they don't get out of proportion with the good guys, and you're back to a happy camper. But when that ratio changes, you need to be on more probiotics to get it back to normal.
So that's such an interesting point you made, that when we are getting bloated and gassy, it's because we are experiencing the effect of the bad gut bacteria feasting on our food and kind of their waste products. Is that what's going on, Randy?
Yes. In other words, we didn't digest our food well enough up high, so the partially digested food makes it down low into our colon, where the colon is just supposed to be a place where the feces form and everything gets dewatered and solidified. If that becomes an overactive environment where there's plenty of partially digested food yet to eat, it's the bad guys that eat it. Probiotics don't need partially digested human food. They need prebiotics and other special nutrients like soluble fiber.
Right. So I think that's a good and important point for people to hear as an indication that there may be something going on that they've always kind of accepted as just, you know, I don't know, just that's the way I am. But actually, it's a wake-up call for people to pay attention to, because something is radically out of balance. And when it's radically out of balance, what are the consequences to our health?
Sure. Well, let's talk about this, because what we want to curb, number one, is inflammation in the intestinal tract, actually in the whole body, but we got to start with the intestinal tract. Most diseases have their origin with inflammation, and the cancer does, heart disease does, diabetes does. Having the wrong action of our microbiome is going to lead to inflammation. And why is that? Well, because the immune system starts to fight these bad bacteria, if you have more of them than the good guys. And the immune system's initial reactions, what we call the T helper cells, the TH1 helper cells, are inflammatory. So they start producing these little messages called cytokines, molecular messages, that get the body inflamed so it can fight the infection. That's actually important in the beginning. That's how you fight most infections. Where the problem comes in is if the infections continue, the microbiome continues to be in the bad proportions, body doesn't quit, the immune system doesn't stop, and now you get systemic inflammation. Your whole body becomes inflamed. Probiotics, if they're working properly, can act as the police to revert that back to a non-inflammatory condition. And that's what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the disproportionation in the microbiome results in inflammation. You know, to use big words, you know, interferon gamma is a cytokine you don't want to have too much of. Tumor necrosis factor alpha is a cytokine you don't want to have too much of for too long. And it's the ones you get when the bad bacteria are out of proportion.
Now, we believe, I think the estimate is 75% of our immune system is found within our intestinal tract. Is that accurate?
Yep. 70 to 75, that's the figure we talk about, us microbiologists.
Which makes it so important to have a healthy digestive system, because if that is compromised through everything we just mentioned, you know, the toxins and the antibiotics and steroids and, you know, bad food, we are actually seriously compromising our immune system.
Yeah, and you know, we're not allowing it to go through. Normally, maybe we just back up for a minute for the folks and let them tell them how the immune system should be working. When an infection starts, the Th1 helper cells, they're the quarterbacks of the immune system, they start with an inflammatory response along the lines of what we've been talking about. As soon as the infection is largely defeated, a calming effect occurs. The Th2 side, the T helper cells 2, along with T regulatory cells, these are special white blood cells called lymphocytes that the body makes that really are the stars of the immune system. The Th2 slows things down along with the T regulatory cells to calm down the immune system once the infection's defeated. When you have an autoimmune disease like Crohn's disease, that doesn't happen. The inflammatory portion of the immune system, the Th1 site, keeps operating. So that's what we want to balance. We want to bring that back into balance with controlling the microbiome by getting it back in a good direction where the probiotics are the police.
What else goes on in our intestinal tract? What other functions for the body occurs?
You know, there's many. One of the things that we've learned recently, which was totally amazing to me, is how what's going on in the intestinal tract can control our emotions and what's going on in our brain. There are chemicals, toxins, that are produced when things are out of whack, that can cause the blood, they go into the bloodstream, and they can cause the brain to be inflamed. Dr. Russell Blaylock, who writes the Blaylock Wellness Report, and who's always been a big champion of our Theralac products, probiotic products, talks about this in his newsletters. He can do a much better job of that than I can, but We know now that the balance in the intestinal tract can affect your mental well-being. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Depression, anxiety, many of these things can relate to what's going on in your intestinal tract. If you're happy down there, you're happy upstairs. If you're unhappy down there, you can have problems. That's one. Diabetes is an issue that can be connected with how effective your intestinal tract is working. Heart disease. If you've got a high inflammatory reaction in your blood, there's a blood test that you know, it's called CRP, C-reactive protein. Anybody suspects that they're having problems, they should have their doctor run a CRP test. If it's over 1, 1.5, you've got some inflammation in your bloodstream. And that may relate very well to antagonisms in the intestinal tract. So one of our big goals is to understand this in more depth. How do the probiotics, the good guys, the lactobacillus bacteria for the small intestine, the bifidobacteria for the colon, how do they work to reduce inflammation? Well, the thing we know for sure is that these little messengers, the cytokines that are produced by our body's T cells and other immune cells, need to be of the type that calm things down. Specifically, a cytokine called IL-10 is very calming. And we know that bifidobacterium probiotics encourage the T cells to produce more IL-10. In contrast, IL-12 is produced by the Th1, or the inflammatory side of the immune system. And it can easily get produced out of proportion if we don't have enough IL-10. Stands for interleukin-10 and interleukin-12. I know that's a little bit involved, but unfortunately you can't talk about the immune system without getting into some of those details. So to summarize, in essence, when you got the probiotics in control as the police, dominating the flora, so that you've got the good bacteria, the good bugs, as we call them, in control, you're going to have less of the inflammatory cytokines and more of the non-inflammatory. That's a simple way of summarizing it.
And what about autism? Because gut health plays a major role in the autistic child, autistic person.
You know, when I first started this business, I started Master Supplements in 2002, and I almost didn't because I had sold the previous business where I had probiotics for agriculture. I almost retired, and I said, no, there's something missing here. You know, we can get probiotics to work better than they were working 12 years ago, and that involves getting to deliver alive through the stomach and wake up with the right nutrients down deep in the intestinal tract. And, you know, we have 7 patents that we work with on our products with that. But to answer your question specifically, we started with a couple of markets that were untraditional. Autistic children, we knew a couple of doctors that specifically treated autistic children. And we gave them some of the first Therilac back in 2003. And they noticed some rather startling improvements with these children. And it continues today to be a big market for our formulas. What happens is you start to get leaky. An autistic child, all of them have leaky gut syndrome, meaning their intestinal tract, particularly the small intestine, is leaking things into the bloodstream that it shouldn't be leaking. Instead of totally digested foods, it's leaking partially digested food into the bloodstream. And this occurs, these leaks occur between these little fingers that come off. You know, remember, you've seen my pictures when we were, you know, out in Anaheim at the Health Expo. I showed you some of the pictures in our in our training manual. These little fingers called villi have gaps between them. And when those gaps develop little pinholes, you now have leaky gut. And good probiotics can cause that to close because they're eliminating the bacteria that literally have caused those little pinholes to develop. Bacteria like enterococci can do this. So once you start getting partially digested food in the bloodstream, you start getting allergies to just about everything you're eating. And foods that you never had an allergy to a year ago or 2 years ago, now the child has an allergy to, or the adult.
You know, this is just so profound. And something as simple, it appears, as improving the health of the gut has ramifications beyond our wildest dream for most of us. And that's where we really need to find this, those things that provide us with simple solutions to help our health.
Yes, and there are some simple solutions. You know, it's as complex as things are, as we've been talking about. It's unbelievable. There are some very simple solutions that can have a major effect on your health. You know, I used to call it the triad of supplements that everybody needs to be on: a good multivitamin, a good omega-3 concentrated fish oil, such as a DHA fish oil, and a probiotic. A probiotic that contains at least 10 billion live colony-forming units per dose, per capsule, preferably more. Those three, the omega-3 fatty acid, the multivitamin, and the probiotic, that's a core. Now, beyond that, there's others that are of major importance that you and I have talked about. Vitamin D3, magnesium, coenzyme Q10 would be the next three most important that I would recommend. If you're on those supplements and you're watching what you eat, you're not eating the traditional Western diet constantly. You're driving towards a Mediterranean diet. Lots of fruits and vegetables, a lot of fish, olive oil. It's highly non-inflammatory. So you drive away, your goal is to drive away from the typical Western diet of processed foods, burgers, pizzas, things like this, towards a Mediterranean diet while you're taking this core supplement program. It's really the core of six. You know, the first D3 we talked about for years, but now we've added the D3 and the coenzyme Q10 and the magnesium. Now, that doesn't mean that there aren't many other supplements like curcumin. I'm just stunned at all of the work that's been done on turmeric. Curcumin mm-hmm. is the active ingredient in turmeric, and how it helps. So we can go beyond these six even and improve our health. But certainly everybody needs to be on a good supplement program, and you've helped a lot of people understand that, Cheryl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it is true. We really need to ensure our intake of these key nutrients that can't be gotten from food anymore. We actually must have a protocol, I like to call it. We have to have our core protocol that we are committed to for the long term. And,
yep.
You know, makes a big difference, especially as we were saying, the older we get, the more our body requires that kind of support. So Randy, I know that this exploding world of probiotics has people really confused because there are first of all, we understand now more than ever before how important it is to have a good probiotic as part of that core protocol. But what kind of probiotic, and you know, our 100 billion, you know, what we want, do we want them refrigerated, unrefrigerated, do we need to have certain strains to do certain things? This is the kind of the Wild West, I see, of the probiotic world. What is going on? People
sure.
are taking probiotics, but not necessarily understanding how they need to be educated to be sure they're getting the outcome and the results that they are wanting.
Sure.
What do we need to know?
And it's very competitive, and, you know, I don't want to make this a commercial message, but we've got a very good website which talks about the science of probiotics. I'm going to give it in a nutshell here in a minute. But for everybody, Therilac was our, and still is, our franchise product. We have many family members now, but therilac.com. Theralac.com. A wealth of information there. And if it's something we can't answer, we usually link to other doctor sources that can. If you want to really find out more about it, you can Google like Theralac, T-H-E-R-E-L-A-C, T-H-E-R-A-L-A-C, excuse me, with a particular doctor, like Dr. Horowitz for Lyme disease, Dr. Blaylock for neurological issues. And you'll find a wealth of information on the products and the strains. What's a strain? Everybody's heard of Lactobacillus acidophilus, one of the first bacteria that was used as a probiotic. There's over 200 different strains of Lactobacillus acidophilus. And that's the number, or the numbers and letters you see after the name. So if you see L. acidophilus, NCFM, NCFM designates the strain. Or LA, capital LA1. Any research that's being done on these products will describe the strain in that research. If you don't see a strain designation, you should be suspicious. All right, strength. You need to have, first of all, you need to have more than one strain. You need to have at least two or three Lactobacillus strains and preferably two or three Bifidobacterium strains. In the product. Too many strains is not good because they fight each other. They compete with each other. Four, five, six strains are plenty. Providing they're delivered at least at 10 billion colony-forming units per dose. And what is a colony-forming unit? It's the way we count the bacteria on a Petri dish. We don't know whether it's just one little cell or maybe a bundle of cells or maybe two or three cells that form a colony. Each type of bacteria has a different ability to form colonies. So CFU is the way we report strength. And you need at least 10 billion. In our Therilac product, we have 30 billion guaranteed through expiration. That's another important point. If it says guaranteed at the time of manufacture, big yellow flag. You don't know that it's really going to be alive on the shelf. It has to be guaranteed through expiration. To get that, the vast majority of probiotic formulas have to be refrigerated to be stable. Doesn't mean they can't be kept out of the refrigerator. In the case of Therilac, you can keep it out for as much as 1 month, But to get the 2-year shelf life, you've got to be in a refrigerator the rest of the time. So refrigeration, strength at least 10 billion CFU, anywhere from 3 to 6 strains I think would be the right number, where the strains are actually indicated and where you can Google them and find out the research that's been done. Those are important criteria.
Mm-hmm. What about, I'm going to just kind of throw out some different conditions, and I'd like your thoughts on it. Let's start with candida.
Candida is a yeast infection. We all have candida albicans in our intestinal tract as a yeast participant in the microbiome. What happens when you're on the wrong diet or if you're on antibiotics and you lower the competition in the microbiome, the yeast takes on a whole new face. It morphs. It morphs into a pathogenic form with little legs, little hyphae that can dig into your intestinal wall and stick. Now you've got candidiasis, which is a candida infection. You may first notice it with white saliva in the morning, what we call the spit test. If you spit in a glass and get enough spit to cover the half glass full of water, to cover the surface of the water, and then within 15 minutes, if you see these strings coming down, you've got most likely a candida infection. Can't do it with a little bit of spit. You got to get a lot of spit to cover the surface of the water in the glass and watch it. I like to watch it for even as much as 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. If it stays clear, if there's nothing, if the strings don't come down, the little tentacles, you're not seeing the yeast. You're just seeing the mucus that they've formed. You're probably okay. In any event, if you know you're leaning towards candidiasis, you need to be on strong probiotics. You need to be on something that's 30 or 40 billion CFU per mil per day. And you're probably going to need to be on some medication. And that brings up the importance of how do you take medication with a probiotic. If you're on Diflucan or Nystatin for something like candida infection, you don't want to take probiotics the same exact time, 3 hours apart. And that goes for any time that you're taking antibiotics. Our Theralac, for example, and our Truflora can be taken with antibiotics, but not at the same exact time, 3 hours separation. So anyway, what you have to do is you got to defeat the candida. You got to knock it back down and then get the probiotics to replace it where it's been attaching on the intestinal wall, and now you got probiotics, and you're back, hopefully, a happy camper.
What about people who have taken courses of antibiotics? What do they need to know?
People that have taken multiple courses of antibiotics are at high risk for what we call a C. diff infection. That stands for Clostridium difficile, which is a real bad news colonic microorganism that can make you very sick. Actually, it can be life-threatening. It takes over your whole colon. Forms a condition we call pseudomembranous colitis, and you don't want that to happen. So anybody taking antibiotics needs to take probiotics during the antibiotics, but 3-hour separation. And then when you finish the antibiotic regimen, stay on the probiotics for daily for a very minimum of 1 month, preferably longer. Because generally you don't kill 100% of the infection even after you finish the full antibiotic regimen. There's always a few left over. And they can restart the infection unless you put probiotics there first. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. What about pregnant women?
We always say, you know, we have a lot of pregnant women that use our products, but you should always talk to your doctor first and show them the label, show them the product, the website, and say, is it all right if I take this? Because everybody's different. Every person has a different, slightly different biochemistry. Where the probiotics can really help once the doctor approves is with mineral absorption. You know how important it is to absorb calcium and magnesium when you're pregnant. And probiotics are all stars in terms of helping calcium and magnesium absorption. There's a lot of work been done on that. But I would, you know, because it's a sensitive time in your life, you always want to check with your doctor first.
But they are really safe and benign.
Of course. In fact, baby, there's been work done in Europe where trillions of probiotics were given to babies during nursing. Now, you know, we recommend 6 months or older. But once again, that would be a question to ask your pediatrician if you want to give your baby probiotics. Many, many pediatricians are recommending it straight out. But mm-hmm. Something you should mm-hmm. check as an individual.
Mm-hmm. What about things, conditions like cancer?
Well, if you Google probiotics and cancer, you'll find a review report. It's about a half an inch thick that talks about how probiotics may benefit cancer treatment by reducing, one thing we know they do is they reduce the toxic effects of chemotherapy. They don't replace chemotherapy, but quite often most of the chemo recipes cause diarrhea. And that means you've got some real nutrient absorption issues. The last thing you want to have if you have cancer is poor nutrient absorption, because you need your body to be strong in all respects. Probiotics can counteract the diarrhea that's been caused by many of these chemo recipes, and that's well known, and you can get that just by googling
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
and maybe there's other mechanisms. Just keeping things non-inflammatory is hugely important if you're treating cancer, and we know that, but that's kind of the new frontier for probiotic research right now, is how do they go beyond just the anti-diarrhea effect in cancer treatment, for example, and in heart disease.
Because doesn't chemo and radiation actually destroy the gut flora?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, we know one thing. There's been some studies done on a special type of probiotic called Lactobacillus rhamnosus. It's kind of a distant cousin of Acidophilus. It will actually protect the intestinal wall from the dangers of chemo as well as radiation. And there's published articles on that. We've got Lactobacillus rhamnosus in Therilac. We didn't know that when we formulated Therilac 12 years ago, we didn't know that fact. That was an unintended improvement. But yes, and they know it not from some radiation accident. They know it from CT scans. CT scans are, as you know, very powerful radiation, and they can destroy your flora and give you diarrhea quickly. But if you're on the rhamnosus containing probiotics, it seems to offset that.
So important, isn't it, for people to know about?
Yeah, and it's specific. You know, you can't just go into a store and say, "I need a probiotic." You gotta read up. You got a lot of information on the internet, and if you Google, you know, probiotics and something specific like chemotherapy, you're going to learn a lot more than if you just, you know, Google in general. And then you got to sort out the commercial selling statements from actual research that you can get at the same time. And maybe not unfortunate, but everybody's got to be kind of a micro-scientist nowadays.
Well, that's why we're having this program, because we need to get educated about what we're choosing. So we get the results. We don't want to throw our money away. And we need to do the education. And so, Randy, what else haven't we touched upon that you think is really important for us to know?
Well, you know, I was just looking. I made some notes before our show today, and just a couple of things. Let's talk about gluten sensitivity for just a minute. You know, celiac disease is the extreme form of gluten sensitivity. Most adults over 50, probably over 40, have some degree of gluten sensitivity, particularly wheat gluten. Products like our Enzylase, a multi-enzyme product, ENZALASC, and there's others, good competitors as well, they will help offset an early gluten intensity or sensitivity, rather. And we don't want that to morph into a celiac condition as we age. There's genetic celiacs, and then there's acquired from destroying your intestinal tract. Leaky gut, for example, we talked about before, can be a real problem. We probably should eat less wheat as a general population. I love it. I love my bread and I love muffins and all that, but probably eat in your cereal. Should kind of aim for more oats and rye and a little less wheat, probably be a good healthy thing to do. Probiotics and enzymes can help you do that. That's one thing. Weight loss. There's some new work that's been done on weight loss. Did I lose you? Or are we still there?
No, I'm still here.
I'm sorry. I heard a click in the phone.
No.
There's this special ratio called B to F in the colon. It's kind of involved, but it involves a big group of bacteria that live down there called Bacteroides to a second big group that live down there called Firmicutes. So we call it the B to F ratio. If that ratio is high, more B than F, you're in good shape. You're probably a lean person, a happy person. If that ratio is low, you can tend towards obesity. And we know this from a number of studies with animals, and now there's been a couple of clinical studies with humans. So one of the ways to keep the B to F ratio high is to take probiotics that contain a lot of bifidobacteria. Like we've got a new product called True Bifido, TRUBIFIDO, that does exactly that. And although we can't make a claim on it for weight loss, we can make the indication, because there have been studies on the strains, that it converts this ratio into a more positive ratio for weight loss.
That's a huge area right now, actually, the understanding that the health of our gut flora plays a major role in keeping us within, you know, our optimal weight. Or if we are altering our gut flora, we actually can put on more weight and be more prone to put on weight if we have this, you know, this inappropriate ratio.
It's got to do with the metabolites that the wrong gut flora produce. They go to the brain and they turn off your sensors that tell you to stop eating. If you've got the right bacteria in the colon, you eat a normal amount of food and you feel full. If you've got the wrong guys down there, you never feel full. You keep eating. It's crazy, but it's the way it works. And we're just starting to sort out that biochemistry.
Yeah, isn't that amazing how these little teeny bacteria control many of our choices, behaviors, control how we think, control our moods? Who would have thought?
I know. And, you know, we got a full laboratory here at Master Supplements in Victoria, Minnesota. And when I go over and see the technicians, and I always want to look at their Petri dishes and take a look under the microscope at what's going on that day. Of course, we control everything we do internally as well as externally. Third party, we better be able to compare with third party results with our own lab. It's a technical process, and it is amazing. These guys are small. We're talking micron size living organisms. You can put a million of them in a meter.
I really do believe that probiotics should be part of our core protocol. I think from the time, you know, children are very young. I know there are strains that, and I know you recommend some of the products to be taken with infants if you can, you know, open up the capsules and mix it in with some applesauce, especially with kids who have some health issues, all the way up. You know, my 92-year-old mother just had, to my shock and horror, and of course she didn't tell me about it, 2 rounds of antibiotics within 6 weeks. And I just see she was going downhill rapidly. She had no energy. She couldn't think. And they were about to put her on a 3rd round because they wanted to take care of her fatigue, which, as it turns out, was a side effect of the antibiotic treatment.
Okay. Yep.
So fortunately, you know, I stepped in at that point and stopped that prescribing of this very potent 3rd antibiotic. And I have her on probiotics. I have her on the Cerelac. We're, you know, really replenishing the healthy gut flora, and she's doing so much better. She actually just sounds like her normal self today.
And oatmeal and bananas for breakfast, and if she can take tomato juice is a wonderful prebiotic for probiotics.
first. That's good to know. Yes, and she does do her oatmeal, which is great. One quick question, because we only have a few minutes. I wanted to ask, what was the quick question? It's gone out of my head right now. I don't remember. I'll have to get back to it. Randy, this is so much great information here. It's like my mind is swimming with all of this. But I do want people to be able to go and visit your website, which is theralac.com, T-H-E-R-A-L-A-C, because there is so much research that you've put together that explains all this. And, people just really need to make the best choices and to make sure that they have a really good probiotic on a daily basis. Do you think we should take them daily, or I know you have a different regimen?
Good question. Most products are taken daily because of our 7 patents that we have on the strength, stability, and the delivery of Theralac. The beauty is once you've inoculated yourself, so to speak, with taking one a day for 2 weeks, most people can back off to 2 capsules a week for maintenance. That's still 60 billion. You can go back to one a day whenever you need more supplementation, but if you do that, a bottle of Theralac lasts 10 weeks, and it really helps with the cost and the economics. So one a day for 2 weeks, and then 2 a week after that. You can go back to one a day whenever you feel that you need to. We're the only company right now that can do that, and also we give third-party results online. You go to Theralac.com and click on the quality assurance icon, and you're going to get the analysis of CFU, purity, and what we call activity, which is ability to make lactic acid, very important. So we've helped a lot of people over 12 years, got a lot of leading doctors that work with us. We don't over-promote. We're pretty much a science-orientated company. We don't do a lot of advertising. Our products are available in Vitamin Shop and Life Extension. Anybody that's a Life Extension member knows Theralac very well because they promote it. And they only touch things that they know that truly work.
Well, that's why I really wanted you to be on the show today, Randy, because you're such an expert in this field, and you have committed to really high-quality, high-integrity science-based products. So, that's why I use your products, and I recommend them to my patients, and I feel really comfortable in doing that. And, you're always such a pleasure to talk to because you are just so knowledgeable about everything related to probiotics and their benefits. And I really thank you for all the work you've done. I'm glad you didn't retire early and you wouldn't have been here. We wouldn't have been here having this conversation. You wouldn't be doing the great work you're doing to help so many
people.
You're
more than welcome. I hope we've helped some people, and I know we have.
I know we have, too. So thank you again for your time. Randy Porupkin has been our guest today. We're talking all about probiotics and the reasons why we really need to understand them and be sure to include them in our regular core healthy protocol. If you want to learn more, go to Theralac.com. And until next week, remember to always honor the wisdom of our feminine self. Bye for now.